Good morning, I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. My guest today is my friend Dave Troy, who's a serial entrepreneur, CEO of 410 Labs, winner of the second Baltimore Social Innovation Journal Award, but most importantly, a real thought leader when it comes to using Twitter mapping to look at sociodemographic patterns and trends and how people interact. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, David. How are you?
You've been traveling around the world. Talk a little bit about Twitter mapping, where you get the data, where this all came from.
Yeah, so about 7 years ago, I had the idea to start mapping out the interactions that people were having on social media, and I started by using Twitter data. And what was interesting is that while I could see geographically where people were interacting from, I couldn't see how they were interrelated and how they were connected. So I thought for a while on this problem, and about a year ago, came up with a way to start to visualize cities by way of the connections between people that were, you know, using Twitter. And one of the things that I immediately found here in Baltimore was that we're very divided. And I guess that wasn't surprising at first, but what kind of struck me as interesting was that there were whole parts of the Twitterverse here in Baltimore that I really didn't know about, and that I didn't personally fully comprehend how big it was. And so, you know, when I started to look at this in more detail, what I started to discover was that we were, in fact, very divided racially. And, you know, if you ever looked at the trending topics in Baltimore, you notice sometimes that there are things that, you know, might appear on like Black entertainment television and other sources like that. And, you know, we kind of had the sense that we were divided, but we're starting to be able to visualize that. So I've been taking that same technology and applying it to cities around the world, trying to understand how Baltimore fits into the broader context and how cities are the same and how they're different. And one of the things that I think people question about is how representative these kinds of data sources are of the culture at large. And there's been some studies done on that. The Pew research folks have done some studies that indicate that actually Twitter usage is higher amongst minority populations than it is amongst, say, a white community in the United States. But I think, you know, beyond that, what's really interesting is that we start to see that there are universal patterns that appear. One thing seems to be is that Twitter usage is inversely correlated with income and power. So, you know, sort of the more that you have time on your hands, say, like I looked at Istanbul, and there's a lot of young Turkish men who are using something like Twitter to communicate and build networks and maybe try to, you know, think about employment and entrepreneurship and things like that. And here in Baltimore, it does seem as though Twitter usage is higher amongst African Americans. So it gives a very good insight into communities that might not be represented in other types of measurements of the culture and of a city. So yeah, it's interesting. And repressive cultures like in Saudi Arabia or in Turkey, where there's internet censorship and people aren't able to use the internet as freely, you do see some interesting things like clusters popping up around, say, gay pornography or sex that you might not see as prominently in a city like Baltimore or even in San Francisco, which might be surprising.
Because the Twitter is becoming a separate communications network than the internet.
Yeah, it's becoming a way to kind of build clusters of interest around something that might not be subject to the same kind of censorship rules as the broader internet.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
For more of this interview with this Baltimore Social Innovation Journal winner, visit www.warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org.